Okay, if you want to make your way back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter takes a lot of time. He's kind of dwelling on this salvation. I think the one thing that when I look at this too, because I keep thinking to myself, you know, you look at salvation, 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 salvation. I know that some churches, you know, Reed, we're talking about some churches that they kind of have this an agenda. There's a church with a Christian school down in Monroe, North Carolina, too. It's one of those churches that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, is that a lot of their chapel messages are salvation messages at a Christian school. And, you know, there's a point that we think to ourselves, we need to go past that. Okay, I know I'm saved. I need to go past that. We need to teach the full counsel of God. And then I look at something like what 1 Peter's writing about, what Peter's writing about here. Of course, to this church, to these people, salvation's a new thing. This idea of a man dying on a cross and coming back to life too. And as it pertains to Greek culture, who would want that? That was like the radical thinking that the Greeks would not have understood, just wouldn't have resonated in their thinking. And so Peter takes a lot of time, and he's writing about that too. And I guess what I've learned over the past 3 years, especially doing the Lord's Supper, is that our salvation is just so expansive. It's like, you know, when you go to a beach and you look at the horizon of an ocean, it just doesn't seem to stop. And I think really salvation is like that too. Just what all it curtails and where it goes and what it really does to sustain us too. And the one thing that I hope that we learn is that this gospel, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a sustaining power. It's something that's behind us, that salvation. It's more than just a one-time event, but it's there just riding with us through the storms that we often have to navigate through. And that's why Peter is making this. He's leading off with this idea with our salvation. And the next week when we start going through this, it kind of changes gears and we start talking about holiness. Be holy as I am holy. And there's a little bit different change with that too. So we're going to be finishing up this aspect of our salvation this morning with 1 Peter chapter 1. And then we'll start in kind of a new subject as Peter goes and he kind of makes a right turn and heads off in a different direction. This past Tuesday night, during our Financial Peace University class, we're talking about the future use of cash. Of course, Dave Ramsey, and his when he does his talk, his big thing is, you know, use cash to pay for everything too. But you know, that idea of cash, it's just not, you know, it's more and more not going to be there anymore. So I was telling the class that I was reading a story about these Amazon stores that are starting to pop up. There's just these, I think there's only about three or four of them, and they're over on the West Coast. But the way they work, you can only get in the Amazon store if you have a specific app, and that lets you in the turnstile. So you go into the store, and you get whatever you need, and there's cameras all around watching you, and so you just kind of, I don't know if you have to scan it, or it just knows that whatever you buy, that you're buying, whatever you pick up, you're going to buy. So you probably scan it in a certain way, and then there's no cashier. You walk out, and that's it. So you're walking in, you get what you need, you walk out, you don't go through a cashier, there's no cash, there's no credit cards, nothing. You walk out, and that's it. And you can eventually check, and you can and see your order that comes out. And so I was sharing this with the class, and one of the guys who does sales, he raised his hand and says, you know what, when I graduated back in 2006, I was working at a company and they were talking about this very thing, kind of foretelling what was going to happen with certain stores that are not going to require a cashier anymore or a person of which to pass by so you can walk out of a store with your goods. That is starting. There was even people back then were thinking that a cashier is not going to be a necessity anymore. And of course, nowadays you can go through, I think Panera Bread has really got it down too. You can order from your table. You can order ahead of time too. You can use the little iPad things like there. You can make your order. You don't need a cashier. This stuff is being foretold that this cashier idea is being, it's not there anymore. You don't need it anymore. When I used to go to, with the family, would go to Disney World, they had this one attraction called the Carousel of Progress. And it's this round kind of thing where you go in, you sit in there, it's kind of pie shape in that you have four sections. So you go into the one, it's kind of a turn of the century, and it talks about the progress of technology. So you sit in here, and it's all animatronics. So on a really hot day, it was really nice, it was nice and cold. You could just sit in there, slow-moving ride, and you just sat there and just listened to the show. All these animatronics talking about these wonderful inventions that are taking place, and they would kind of forecast, we know what else is going to take place. And so it would go all the way up, and the last time this ride was renovated was back in 1993. And so it would get to the last one, and the last ride, or not the last ride, but the last presentation of the animatronics, all the people there, was this family. They were supposedly celebrating like a Thanksgiving, had a turkey in the oven, and you had Grandma here fighting, doing a video game while using a laser disc. Okay, laser discs are back then. Now we have DVDs and Blu-ray now, so that was a back technology. But the one thing they did get right was as far as foretelling, was voice-activated oven. And the comical thing in that presentation, as Grandma and the kid are announcing the game scores, that the oven is adjusting a temperature according to what it was hearing. So when someone said, oh, our score is 975, the oven is back there saying, adjusting temperature to 975. And the smoke is coming out of the oven and the turkey is burned. And so that was the only thing that they probably got right. And that's 25-year-old technology right there too. They need to upgrade it, but a lot of that ride was about kind of foretelling what was going to happen in the future. It was kind of guessing what was going to take place. And I think when we look at the prophets, I tell you what. Let's look at the passage before I talk anymore. We'll read the scriptures. We'll have a word of prayer. Then I'll continue on. Looking at verse 10, we've kind of read 3 through 9. We'll pick up in verse 10 in our reading. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. And these things, those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things unto which angels long to look, or angels had an interest in. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue in your word, that we would understand the depth of what all this means. And if anything, just change our thinking about how important what these prophets had to say, how important it is to understand this word and how much work we have to put into this. That we would discover these truths and perhaps it would help people that we've never met yet. Help a generation that is not yet on the scene. I pray that what we take out of here, Lord, we'll be able to apply, perhaps not today, not tomorrow, but to a date and a future unknown. So bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you look at these verses here too, it's talking, Peter's writing, he's reminding these people that these prophets that wrote in the Old Testament, they did not understand what they were writing about. As I mentioned this morning in the introduction too, that as God was giving them this kind of knowledge, this kind of scrolling over and this knowledge too, they were just kind of like a pipeline for this. They didn't really understand that what they were saying. So it kind of takes the human factor out of that, that they kind of made up their own message, kind of like what I do every Sunday. So, but they were funneling this stuff, and they were just, you know, I'm getting this from the Lord. I'm saying this to my audience too. I don't understand it, but here it is. And so what he's writing about here, he's talking about this salvation, because the salvation that we have right now, the redemptive act that Christ did on the cross for us, they had no knowledge of. They knew Messiah was coming. But really, this idea of a crucifixion, a church subsequent to all this too, they didn't really follow it yet. And so, but they were so fascinated with it. As you can see here in verse 10, is that they're digging into what they're saying. They're not just stopping as, you know, passing, you know, forwarding the emails along or anything like that too. But these prophets were stopping. Well, this is pretty good stuff. I need to study. What are these people are going to get? This stuff, even though it's not promised to them. It's for people that are living hundreds of years from now. But they're stopping studying this stuff, even though it's not relevant to them. They have to stop and studying this stuff. They have this desire to learn what is going to be happening, this grace that was going to be given to these people that aren't even alive yet. So what we want to understand, this salvation, the goal is that that's been given to us. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do to learn about the salvation that's been given to us? Are we researching, digging into what all this means? Do we spend? Can we spend some time? You know, you may not have a shelf full of theology books, but you know, the internet has given us a lot of resources to really dig into this stuff, just as these prophets did. And that's our challenge this morning, is to be diligent, just like these prophets were, in understanding what God had told them to say. And so there's three small points I want to make. And the first point is a promise not for them. Probably when I thought about the, you know, and I tried to make an outline up, I try to have something like any good Baptist preacher does, is to try to have something that has some kind of rhyme to it. That's just something that's drilled into you in Bible college too. I try to break away from that once in a while, but I'm just kind of like just stuck in that where I have to have some sort of rhythmic pattern with each outline. But this promise was not for them. Now, what's important about that is that these Old Testament prophets sought to study something that did not apply to them. We live in a time where everything is suited for our needs. We can go to find restaurants. We can go on and like use apps like Yelp to find out restaurants that would kind of suit our needs. You know, what food is served, prices, ratings. We can do that. We can shopping habits. Everything is at the tips of our fingertips, the tips of our fingers, and the comfort of our home. Last night, Ryan and I were watching this documentary on the South Pacific Islands. Fascinating. Has really nothing to do with our lives, but it was just fascinating stuff. I wrote a 15-page paper. I finished it yesterday. On a subject that I won't even get into, but it wasn't really, it really didn't feel relevant at the moment. But again, it reminded me that sometimes when we're looking in God's Word, when we're studying the Scriptures, that you and I need to find the motivation to study stuff that may not be relevant to us right now. What I think I've been learning over the past several weeks is that all of God's Word is important. And sometimes we take God's Word and it's like a sieve. we pour something in there, yeah, that's important, but I'm just going to take out the stuff that's relevant to me. And anything else that may be relevant to someone else, and we'll put it, you know, put it in a garage sale, and maybe someone else will take it at a discount price. But I think what the Lord's really spoken to me about too, is that even though it may not be relevant to me, it may not be what I need right now, I have to learn it. Because the value I need to place on God's word needs to exceed the value of its relevance to me. Do you see what I'm saying there too? Sometimes we assign a value to what God has to say based upon the relativity or the application it means to be at a moment. But the more I think about this and the more I pray about this too, that God's word needs to exceed that. That even the parts there, and that doesn't mean that we're going to go through Leviticus anytime in the future like that too. That, you know, there's a certain amount of sanity that we want to practice there too. It's because that's the reason why I say that, it's even beyond me. but as we study and as we learn, we have to take in, we have to study God's word because it's God's word. Not because it's something that's going to fix me or something that's going to seem kind of interesting or trivial or anything like that. I have to have a value of God's word that is greater than my needs, because that's where God's word works at. And that's what these prophets are doing right now. As they're getting this information, they're putting some efforts into this. They searched, even though they didn't understand the significance of their words. If you look back there, look at verse 10, if you would. They prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. How did they do this? They searched and inquired. Searched and inquired. Now, sometimes when you and I talk, we sometimes for emphasis would use different words to order to express the strength that we want to say. If I wanted to, if Lincoln was doing something, I would say, Lincoln, be very careful, be cautious, watch out what you're doing if he's riding a bike or something like that. Let's say a motorcycle, it makes you look more cool. And I would use many words just to caution him about something. Even those words mean the same thing. But in here, when you look at this thing too, it's the fascinating thing about God's word, is that when you look at this stuff, whereas those words there have a purpose. It's not just some kind of mumbo jumbo. It's not just Peter just kind of using a bunch of words just to communicate something just for emphasis. The words there mean something. That's why we got to dig into the language to see what all this means. Now, when you look at these words, searched and inquired, they have two separate meanings. The word searched is exegeto. It's more used as a verb. It means to look for something with zeal. It's the kind of zeal that you would have if you're running late for something and you can't find your car keys or your cell phone or something like that. I think we've all been to that moment too, where we're stepping out somewhere too. I've been there. Every once in a while, we have a place where we keep our keys right next to the door, but sometimes I pull the drawer open and they're not there. And so I need to be, you know, if I'm scheduled to be somewhere at a certain time, then what's happening is, well, now the gears are going, where did I put those keys? What pants was I wearing when I changed out of them? And, you know, then I'm going into coats, and now that wintertime is coming in there, that's just an add accessory of things that I'll keep things into. I'm looking at pants, I'm looking in my office, I'm looking at the nightstand in my drawer, and just looking, and then, oh, they were in the car the whole time. So, but there's this zeal that we have, and I think that's one of the things that the prophets did that we need to have, is just that zeal, that exegeto, that we're going to be looking for something and we're going to be looking hard. There's a desperation that the prophets had. Again, it did not apply to them. this grace that they were getting, it wasn't for them. It was for a future generation. But nevertheless, they dug. They had this zeal to look for it. And the next word there is inquire. Your translation may have a different word, but what mine has is inquire. And that's exerano, raneo. And it's just, and it's the idea, this inquire, it gives the idea of mining. So think of this. You have this, I don't know if you've ever been in a mine before. I've never really been except for the museum in Chicago. And that was a fake one. That's a whole other story for another time. But you have this idea where you're mining something. That word, that was a kind of a mining word, mining for minerals, or it was investigative too. So imagine this. To kind of put it in perspective, to make this real, imagine the same way that Peter is telling his audience, the way these prophets dug into their own words is, imagine you're running around and you're looking for keys and you're digging everywhere for them. You're going through the laundry hamper. You're going through your desk drawers or looking for anything that would be important. And you just dig and you leave no stone unturned. And you're very thorough when you're finding, you know, cough drops that have been there for 5 years and places where you find a cell phone charger for a cell phone that you don't need anymore. It's one of those kind of digging arounds. It's that kind of mining. It's that tenacious, exhaustive search. That's what these prophets were doing. They would just kind of, I don't know if they had notes or maybe they wrote down stuff on a cuneiform or some kind of a scroll. But these guys, after a time when they had some downtime, they went back and says, "Well, what is this grace? I need to look." And they would pour over this stuff and they would look and they were diligent to try to find what this meant, what these people were getting. And I hope that we would have that example. This class that I've been taking, I told Joy this. I'm going to make a confession to you. This, I owe you some money. I need to give you a refund. This just to kind of give an example of what it means to me. I've been taking this class. It's called dispensation. And dispensation, I know Pastor Pete has taught you that word too. So I've been taking this class and going, and it's very exhaustive. It's reading. It's a lot of thinking. There's no quizzes or tests. Thank the Lord. But it's just a lot of reading and a lot of writing on just communicating with students. And one day I looked at Joy and I said, "I think I've been teaching this when we did the Kingdom of God. I said, I think I've taught them something wrong that's not biblical." And I really had to dig deep because I thought I knew some of this stuff down. I mean, I worked at Bible Broadcasting Network. It didn't matter. The class forced me to do some digging and to come up with stuff like, "Oh man, I think I need to give these people a refund because I need to go back and say some things that I shouldn't have said." It made me dig even more. I thought I had arrived, but I didn't. I just realized there's so much more I had to learn about prophecy and end times. And I think it's the same result will happen to us as well as we look at this. So the first thing was a promise not for them. The second point I want to make is a spirit to teach them. A spirit to teach them. I'm going to read to you from the Phillips translation, not this Philip, but the Phillips translation. Verse 11, it says in the Phillips translation, follow along in your own. They tried hard to discover to what time and to what sort of circumstances the Spirit of Christ working in them was referring, for he foretold the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. And the second point I want to understand is the Spirit was teaching them. And as you look at verse 11 there too, you see this word, the Spirit of Christ, inquiring at what time, what person or time the Spirit of Christ was in them. And so not only are they digging through what they were writing about, but they're trying to reflect back. It says, okay, at what point did I really sense the Holy Spirit kind of working in with me in this progression of this, this revelation of material? Where was it the time where I really felt the presence of God in examining this stuff too? What was going on? Peter reminded his readers that the prophets had predicted that Jesus Christ's life as their lives would include the suffering followed by glory. And he encouraged them to realize that their experience was not abnormal. Because he talks about here, he talks about that the prophets were predicting the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories, and they would be going through the same thing as well. But the one thing I want us to understand too is that that you know, the books are really good to have. It's good to have a lot of books and to study too. But the ultimate teacher, it needs to be the Spirit of God. The same way that these prophets, these Old Testament prophets, there was a spirit within them that was ministering through them, and what to say, and what to prophesy. The same way with us, there needs to be a spirit within us as well that is really, you know, you can listen to me for years and years and years, but ultimately there has to be a point where God's Spirit just has to make that light turn on in your head or it turn on in your soul. And looking at this, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is making sense right now. Even to the point where you come like, you know what, I need to make some changes. Either in my life, how I think about God, how I treat others. It's the Spirit that really just makes things starts to work. It makes it applicable. And that's where the Old Testament prophets had it, and we need to have that as well. The Spirit, the same Spirit that was working in them, works in us today just to make things work, to teach us, and to make things make sense. Because I can read a whole lot of books, and I've got the head knowledge for it. I can spit it out to you, and you can walk away with, wow, that was really nice what Pastor Mike had to say, or wow, I really disagreed with what Pastor Mike had to say too. But somewhere between all that stuff, hopefully it's the former, not the latter, but hopefully somewhere between that, then you walk out of here, and that somehow the Spirit is working in your life and saying, you know what, so-and-so, this, I want you to be thinking differently about me this way. I want you to be thinking about your personal relationships differently this way. See things as I see them. That's what God's Spirit is doing, is see things as I see them. And that just makes us much more powerful to be used by Him as well. Well, the third point I want to make is a service to minister to them. We looked at a promise for them, a spirit to teach them, and now a service to them. And look at verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. That's kind of looking forward, isn't it? And what Peter is telling his audience, that these prophets, what they were doing is they were in their digging, and in their work and trying to, as it mentioned there in verse 10, they're searching and they're inquiring, their zeal and their the exhaustive search that they were making. They weren't doing it for themselves. They were doing it for you. A people that they would never meet, a people that they would really have a limited understanding of how they're ministering to. And so when I looked at that, it challenged me in this area too. And I asked myself this question, I'll ask it to you, Will. Have you ever thought that our investigation into God's Word is a service to others? Really, it's something to ponder. That what I study today, because some, you know, when we look at this stuff, when we study God's Word, if it's devotions or what have you, preparing, we look at it with the idea of what I'm going to get out of it. And maybe from time and time again, there may be some, if I talk to the right person at the right time too, there may be some breadcrumbs that I can throw at that person that what I learned. But basically, what we do with God's Word, it's basically self-consumption. But what Peter is telling his audience, or these prophets, they studied for you guys. And something that should resonate in our thinking as we look to understand God's word with this diligence that we may be doing it to serve others. It's something that is passed down. There's a term, I don't know if it has it in your version of, but there's a term that I stumbled across called a perspicuity of Scripture. And that's basically anyone guided by the Holy Spirit will be able to understand what is being said. Sometimes you talk to people too, and they'll try to throw out Scripture too and try to make it, you know, they don't really have a full context. And that's when you talk to people who are lost, and they tell you the Scripture, and it's like, that's not what that means. And so, but what the promise here is that if you know Christ as your Savior and you have the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. It may not reveal to you, you're not all of a sudden become a Hebrew and a Greek scholar. You will be able to do that too. But there are certain elements in your life, if you have the Holy Spirit, it's just going to kind of either thump you in the head, or maybe with some of us, more of a kick in the pants, that it's going to show us how we need to be living. The purpose, though, the Spirit has that teacher as well. Look at the last part of this verse. I thought this was fascinating. The last part of that verse says, things into which angels long to look. About 25 years ago, when Joe and I were living in High Point, we're with the radio station High Point, so we had gone down to Charlotte to visit Joy's parents, and I had to prepare for a priest. We do presentations. You got to present the ministry in these various churches, and some of the churches too. They would say take the whole service. Kind of gives them a break, and I kind of know what that's like now. I get to preach, and I get to preach, and so I think one weekend we're down there, and so I was studying for my message. And Lowell, bless his heart, too. He, of course, he loved to talk theology and Bible, too. But he didn't have anything to do this evening. So I'm just, like, going over my books and studying and making notes and stuff like that. Then about every 10 minutes, he's going, how's it going? He's looking over my shoulder. How's it going? How's it going? You know, just wanting to know. He's wanting to know what I'm going to say. He's wanting to learn what I'm in the process of learning right now. And the angels are the same way. If you think about it, these angels, this whole, like, I wonder if the angels are a little frustrated that we have these kind of windows on there where you can't really see clearly. And to make it worse, now we lock the door so no one can get in. But I would think, too, that there are angels just like, and I could be wrong, this is Raleology, that there are angels outside of our church. And when we have messages like this stuff, especially when it pertains to salvation, there are angels. They're like, what are they talking about? What are they learning in there? Is that preacher, is he telling the truth to them? Is he being clear? Do so-and-so, does Jim back there, is he getting what Pastor Mike is saying? The angels are interested in this stuff. You know, they don't have the Holy Spirit in their lives like we do. They don't have a need for redemption. They don't have a deliverer. But they're interested in this stuff. They look upon us, and it's the same way, I guess, you know, if you could picture this too. If you're looking, and you know, I do like the guys at Philip and Jason, they're converting hearts too, and they do a daily Bible study, you know, from, I guess it's from 9 to 12, something like that. Okay, then you break for lunch. Then you do something in the evening as well. You can just imagine just the angels just kind of sitting in on there too. You know, fascinated what Pastor Doug would be teaching them every day. Just looking over and just hoping that what is being taught is being learned by these people. The angels have a fascination with this too. And I hope that we would have that same fascination. So what do we take away from all this? What should we learn? The three things I want us to understand when we walk out of here this morning. Even though we may not understand parts of the Scripture, we do our best to learn anyway. God's Word is worth the effort. There are things that I study, that I, in my personal reading or definitely with school, that I just, at a point sometimes I don't want to learn because my brain is just fried. But if we have a high value on God's word, we'll learn it. Even though it may not make sense to me right now, you try. Because God's word in itself is worth it. Not just the parts that are applicable to me, not just the fun parts, not just the trivial parts, because we all like to have our conversations on Calvinism, election, predestination. Those are, you know, there's stuff, that's stuff, fun stuff to bat around for some of us. But we even have to operate outside that stuff and learn, try to learn some of the heavy stuff, the hard stuff. God's word is worth the effort. Sometimes you need to take the same approach with dating too. Some of us men will do anything we can to try to impress a girl because we think she's worth it. The same approach we have to take with God's word because it's worth it. The second thing I want us to make understand too is even though the books are they're good, ultimately it's God's Spirit that's got to teach us. There has to be a point where, you know, in my life too, as I study this stuff too, I gotta look beyond the books and really understand what is God showing me here? What is God showing me that I can pass on to you? What is that? And God's Spirit has to be involved in that too. The third thing I'd like for us to understand is what you learn today may serve someone tomorrow. That's what the prophets had to understand. The prophets, when they looked at this stuff, they realized that, you know what? This is not applicable to me at all. This is not, it's prophecy, it's there, but the function of it is not for me today. But they still worked hard at it. But the understanding that it may serve someone else tomorrow. So if you think about it too, I've got, last night I was, you guys remember Jason. Well, Jason's, one of his relatives is going through a marital crisis too. So Jason said, hey, can I give this family your number? I said, okay. So one of his family members gave me a call and I get to meet with them Tuesday at Panera and try to figure out what we can do to help them with their marriage. But it's this, I think about this too, that what I learn just in my studies too, it may not be applicable today, but hopefully it'll serve someone else. Hopefully what I've learned in my understanding of the Christian life will serve this couple. I didn't plan on it. I wasn't searching for it, but will serve this couple. And that's what you and I need to understand too, is that what we learn today may serve someone else in the future. We have to have that understanding, that desperation for it too. We have to learn Scripture and understand Scripture like someone else's life depended upon it. You know, some time ago we had a CPR class here. And, you know, the people came not with the idea that my husband's going to have a heart attack next week and I need to learn CPR to save him. But they kind of came here just in case somewhere in the future they may be able to help someone. It's the same thing with God's word. The prophets learned what they were talking about so they could help someone else in the future. And you and I, we need to have that same motivation, that same drive that I need to learn this so I may be able to help someone. Even though I don't know who it is, I'm ready to help someone else in the future. And I can just imagine, too, the angels just kind of hovering around there, too. Almost like a little Amazon Echo that I was telling you about. Kind of butting in there. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. The angels are doing the same thing. I'm sorry, I didn't get that as well, too. Let's spend some time in prayer, would you? Lord, thank you so much that we have this gift of salvation. It's so extensive that it reached hundreds of years in the past, even before Peter wrote this letter out. And these men were fascinated by what we would be getting. people that we would never meet, but were instrumental in prophesying, foretelling what we have today. I pray that we would have a fraction of that zeal, that we would carve out the time to dig into what you have to say. Thank you for men like Reed and David who each week they set aside time and study and dig into so they can bring us something on what you have to say through Mark's gospel. Lord, pray that you give us that same zeal. Lord, thank you that your Spirit is the ultimate teacher. We would be sensitive to that. As we come across God's Word, even if it's just a brief reading of some verses, perhaps something of our daily bread or a brief devotional, that your Spirit would reach into our souls and tell us what we need to know. Lord, that we would be consciously aware of that what we learn may help someone in the future. So help us to be diligent in that area. As we begin our day tomorrow morning, you will give us a mission field that we would be a lighthouse to people around us, that our testimony, our lives, our conversation, our talk, our language would be one that would reflect the nature of Christ in us. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.